My friends, every June, a question appears for us. It's on bumper stickers, banners, on rainbow flags waving from porches and in church doors, and sometimes in the narrowed eyes of people who aren't so sure. Why? Why pride? Why does the church get involved? Why does any of this matter here in this sanctuary among a people of faith? And my friends, it's a fair question to ask, and it needs answering. Today, the lectionary, that ancient spirit-guided calendar of Scripture, drops three texts in our laps that answer it more powerfully than any argument I could possibly construct. From the Gospel of Matthew this morning, chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called by even worse names. But don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Do not be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Creator knowing it. The very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Creator in heaven. Don't imagine that I came to bring peace to the earth. I came not to bring peace, but a sword. I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. If you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Or if you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, breathe into us your Spirit, we pray, that these words from my mouth and the meditations of my heart may be wholly acceptable to you and to find a home in the hearts of these, your beloved. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Before I dig into the Matthean text, I want to jump back to both of the texts that Terry read for us this morning, the text from Jeremiah and our other text from the Psalms this morning. Jeremiah is in agony because he dared to tell the truth, and he got punished for it. The psalmist cries out from a place of social shame, begging God not to hide from the one who suffers. And Jesus of all people, looks at his disciples and says strong words. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. He came to bring a sword. What kind of a sword? The sword of truth, of uncomfortable solidarity. of a love that refuses to stay silent. Church, the Bible is not asking us whether we will stand with marginalized people. It is asking why it's been taking us so long. Jeremiah's lament is our lament. Hear these words again from Jeremiah chapter 20, verses 7 through 13. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have empowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughing stock all day long. Everyone mocks me, for whenever I speak, I must cry out, I must shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it, and I cannot. Jeremiah, like many of the prophets throughout our biblical history, did not want his calling. He tried to be quiet. He tried to blend in. He tried to keep his head down. But the truth inside him was a burning fire shut up in his bones, and he could not hold it in. Sit for a moment with that image. A fire in the bones. In the bones. Not a flickering candle on your kitchen table. Not the polite warmth of a campfire, but a fire that cannot be contained by social pressure, by ridicule, by the fear of being called a laughingstock. Every queer person who has ever sat in a church pew afraid to be known, or who has ever sat in the family living room afraid to be seen, or who has walked into a hospital room afraid that the person they love most won't be allowed in, knows something about fire in the bones. Something true and alive and God-given, pressed down under shame, held in. It's burning. Jeremiah's lament is the lament of every person who has been told that who they are is a problem. And yet, we read to the end, verse 13, sing to the Lord, praise to the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the needy from the hands of the evildoers. The lament doesn't end in despair, it ends in praise. Not because the suffering is over, but because God has not allowed the one who suffers, has not abandoned the one who suffers. The fire in the bones is not a curse, it's a call. The psalmist's cry is our cry. Do not hide your face. Listen again to Psalm 69, beginning at verse 7. For it is your sake that I have borne reproach, that shame has covered my face. I've become a stranger to my kindred, an alien to my mother's children. It is zeal for your house that has consumed me. The insult of those who insult you have fallen on me. But as for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord. At an acceptable time, O God, in the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me. Answer me, O Lord, for your steadfast love is good. According to your abundant mercy, turn to me. Do not hide your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Do not hide your face from your servant. That is a verse that has been prayed by queer Christians in the dark, by trans teenagers who wondered if God saw them, by same-sex couples who knelt at altars and wondered whether they were welcome there. I have become a stranger to my kindred. Does that sound familiar? For far too many queer people, religious rejection is the most devastating rejection of all. Not because they've left a faith behind, but precisely because they haven't. Because they love God, because they believe, because they come to the church door and the church turns them away in the name of the very God they were seeking. The psalmist is not estranged from the God because of sin. The psalmist is estranged because of zeal, because of faithfulness, because bearing God's name in a hostile world has a cost. And the psalmist prays, "In the abundance of your steadfast love, answer me." Church, when we make space for pride, when we hang a banner, when we train our leaders in inclusion, when we say all are welcome here, no matter where you are on life's journey, and mean it, we are answering that prayer. We are the answer to the psalmist's cry. We are the face of God turning to the one who said, "Do not hide." And then we must talk about Jesus and the sword he bears, the sword of solidarity. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sends out the 12 and gives them what we might call a reality check about what this kingdom work actually costs. He says at the beginning of verse 24, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Over time, Christians have sometimes read this passage as a justification for division, the image of the sword cutting off relationships, drawing hard lines. But notice what Jesus says before he gets to the sword. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground unnoticed by your Father. And even the hairs on your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." This is the God we worship, my friends, a God who counts the sparrows, a God who numbers every hair on every head, including the head of the non-binary teenager, the transgender elder, the gay father, the lesbian grandmother, the bisexual seminary student who isn't sure that there's a place for them in any pulpit. You are of more value than many sparrows. The sword Jesus brings is not a weapon of exclusion. It is the sword of truth that cuts through comfortable silence. Jesus is warning his disciples here, "Following me will be costly." Proclaiming that every human being is loved will make some people very uncomfortable. Has it not done that for you here at St. Thomas? Telling the truth about who God loves, everyone without exception, inevitably causes conflict. Verse 33 in this passage is often read as a threat, "But whoever denies me before others, I will also deny before my Father in heaven." But we have to read it within the context of the entire passage. Jesus has told the disciples to proclaim the kingdom everywhere, even in hostile places, even when it costs them. Denying Christ here means going silent when the gospel demands we speak. It means staying quiet about the full scandalous scope of God's love because we're afraid of what the neighbors will think. When the church refuses to support pride, when it stays silent about the suffering of queer people, when it hedges and qualifies and says, we love everyone, but won't actually show up, that is a form of denial. That is the kind of silence Jesus warns against. So why pride? Because the gospel demands it. Let me give you three reasons why pride that are rooted in this morning's scripture. First, because fire in the bones must not stay hidden, my friends. Jeremiah could not hold it in. The truth of who God is, a God who delivers the needy, a God who sees the outcast, was a burning fire he had to speak. When we see our queer siblings living fully and joyfully as who God made them to be, we are seeing that same fire within their bones. Pride is not arrogance. It is the opposite of shame. It is the declaration that the fire God placed inside you is good. Second, because do not hide your face is a prayer we can answer. The psalmist cried out for a God who would not look away, a community that would not make them a stranger. Every person who has been rejected by their family, their congregation, or their community for being who they are has prayed that prayer. The church has a choice. Be the community that hides its face, or be the community that turns toward the one who suffers and says, we see you, you all belong here, come in. And third, because the sparrows are still falling and God notices everyone. The statistics are not abstract. 2S LGBTQIA plus youth are more than four times as likely to attempt suicide as their peers. Transgender people of color face staggering rates of violence. Queer elders are more likely to live in isolation and poverty. Yet God notices every sparrow. Does the church? When we support pride, if we were to march, when we advocate, when we set up a tent in a park, when we welcome and affirm, friends, we are doing the work of a God who counts every hair on every head. Jesus did not come to bring the easy peace of polite religion. He came with a sword. The sword of a love so wide and so fierce that it refuses to let any human being be written off. It cuts through the silence of the comfortable. It cuts through the shame that has been weaponized against God's children. It cuts the bonds of a religion that sometimes has forgotten its first calling to proclaim the good news to the poor, to release the captives, and liberty to those who are oppressed. Jeremiah had fire in his bones he could not silence. The psalmist cried out for a God who could not hide. Jesus sent his disciples out knowing it would cost them something while reminding them to not be afraid. Why pride? Because we believe in a God who counts every sparrow. Because we are the answer to a prayer that has been prayed in the dark for far too long. Because there is a fire in the bones of God's beloved children, and this church will not ask them to hold it in any longer. You are of more value than many sparrows. Do not be afraid. Amen.